This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswine on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Lisa Jesswine.
Oh, so excited for today's show because we're talking about a topic that everybody can relate to, and that is love. Whether it is love for yourself or love for another, we have someone, our guest today, who knows all about it, author, lecturer, professor, and inquisitive human being about relationships, right? This is Dr. Terry Orbach. It fascinates you, right? Relationships.
Oh, relationships are everything, Lisa.
So we've got, and you are also known as the love doctor, so let's just put that out there, right?
I am Dr. Terry, the love doctor, and it's so wonderful to be with you this morning.
Well, thank you. Now, my mom, when I got up this morning, I talked to her this morning, and she says, oh, I saw that you're having the love doctor, Dr. Terry, on your show. And my mom says, she's famous, you know.
Nice of your mom. Thank you, Mom.
And I said, well, I'll let her know that. And she goes, no, she's been on like Katie Couric, and she's been on TV, and she's famous. So, and you're going to keep that fame going, because what is happening on September 8th from 6:30 to 8 o'clock on PBS?
Well, I am very excited about this, Lisa. It is my first PBS television special, and that is Sunday, September 8th from 6:30 to 8. The program is called Secrets from the Love Doctor. So I'm going to be talking about tips, strategies about how to keep your relationship happy, exciting, and passionate.
And this is what's so great with PBS, and we know public television, is you can support them, you can support yourself by getting all of this insight that can come in for your own love life. So I love the fact that you paired up with this. How did this this relationship happen between you and PBS?
Well, you know, I've been doing a lot lately, taking my research and transforming it into practical, proven, really easy strategies to make your relationship happy and exciting. And I think DPTV heard about me and decided that it would be great to do a special on my research with a live audience. And as you said, Lisa, you can support DPTV, you can support me by calling in during the program and supporting either DPTV or myself.
Yeah, and you know you're in good company because Wayne Dyer's on there all the time.
I know. They have wonderful programs, wonderful specials.
All right, so let's get into this because, no matter where you go, and even when you're sitting and having lunch, inevitably, conversation comes up around relationships and love, whether you're in one or whether you're out of one. And this question came about actually the other day when I was having lunch, and a friend said to me, I don't think I can have love right now because I don't feel good about myself and I don't feel good about my circumstances. And she was talking about the fact that she did not have a full-time job at the moment. So is it possible to find love if you don't feel good about yourself or your circumstances?
Well, I think you can find relationships if you don't feel good about you and your circumstances. They can be friendships, you know, relationships at work, family relationships. But to have a really happy, healthy love relationship, you need to feel good about yourself. Because if you don't feel good about yourself, you can't tell this partner, this love partner, what you need and want in a relationship. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're not employed, you can't have a love relationship, because some people can feel really good about themselves and their circumstances and still not have a full or part-time job. But if you're not feeling good about yourself in general, that's when it's difficult then to feel good about someone else and feel good about your relationship.
Yeah, because, I mean, all right, I'm going to go ahead. Here's confession time.
This, okay, great.
this was me at one point. And my sister really wanted me to be on Match.com and do all these dating things. And I felt so low about the fact that I did not have a full-time job that I found it very difficult to talk about myself in a manner that was appealing to someone else. And I didn't know what to do because I knew I really wanted, and what I realized was I wanted companionship. I didn't know if I was ready for a relationship, but I wanted companionship.
And sometimes people are on these online dating sites for companionship, for finding someone to do things with in their area. But I think, Lisa, in your situation, what one wants to try to do, and I know this was in the past, is flip your feelings about yourself. So, you know, define yourself in other ways that can be positive. So anybody listening out there that might be in a similar situation, focus on the positive things that you're doing with your life. So you might be volunteering in your neighborhood. You might be a great friend or sister or daughter. You might be really looking to some other qualities or traits that you may have and focus on those. So instead of focusing on what you don't have or what you're not doing in your life, focus on what's going well, because sometimes that can really strengthen what's already going well, and it can motivate us to move forward and then feel better about ourselves.
Yeah, it could be that you're just having a really great hair day. At least start
love
with
it.
Yeah, see, you can start with that and go, well, I'm having an awesome hair day. So at least that is really good energy. Part of sometimes what keeps us from fully connecting to someone is releasing old love. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. Because, you know, I think we all have what I call emotional baggage connected to the past. Every single one of us has that emotional baggage. But what you don't want is for it to be so strong. It's almost like getting on an airplane. We all take something with us. Some of us take a light purse, some of us take a huge bag, and you want to make sure that the flight attendant is going to say, you know, you can't come on this plane because your bags are too heavy or too big in a way. And it's the same thing in terms of our past love. Anything that connects us too strongly to the past needs to be released. And one of the things I have found, because I've been doing research on the same couples now for over 28 years, is that when someone gets divorced, when someone breaks up with a long-term relationship, if you're saying that you're too connected to the past, too connected to this past relationship, you can't find new love again, and you can't move forward. Many things to do. First is change your present situation. And what that means, Lisa, is to discard all of the old objects in your house, in your car, at work, that remind you of the past. That can be old jewelry, old photos, photo albums, you know, furniture, clothing, anything that's connected strongly to this prior love, this partner, former partner, change it up. Second, you want to reassign the blame for why the relationship ended. Many of us are still blaming an old partner or blaming ourselves. And what I found research-wise is that when you do that, you're still connecting yourself to the past. You still have an anger that's connected to the past, too strong of an anger, or you're pining away for a former partner. So what you want to do is reassign blame with a we statement. You know, blame the relationship, the two of you. We were too young. We weren't compatible. We didn't connect in a way that I wanted to.
I'm glad you said something about feeling, because you were talking about getting rid of objects and things like that, because I still have two objects that my ex-husband gave me. But when I look at those objects, I don't have any feelings other than, oh, what a pretty object. I really like that.
So, and that's good. That's important. You're right. Because if you can look at an object and not even think of the former partner, but just appreciate that object in general, then you're not strongly connected to the past through this object. Now, for people as well, Lisa, who need to release some of those emotions that are still there, you know, you can volunteer in your community. You can do creative activities, which we have found really release some of those emotions connected to the past. You can exercise, which again releases the emotions. Or my favorite is to write a letter to your former partner, no matter how long ago that relationship existed. Get all of your feelings out on the piece of paper, every single feeling, positive, negative, but then don't send the letter to your former partner or ex. This is an exercise just for you to release it. And, you know, for people where the relationship ended recently, months or just a few years ago, do this every few weeks and see how the letter changes and the emotions connected to the past begin to change. Because this is a great way to release those emotions and then also see how you change mm-hmm. as you go forward.
Right. Now, in these couples that you studied, was intimacy harder the older you get and the farther along you get in your relationship? This again was sort of a question. This friend that I was talking to, she said, "Don't say my name." I go, "I'm not going to say your name." But she was basically saying that, you know, she's been married for, it was, I believe, 35 years now. And she says the intimacy is not there. So she was wondering, is it just because I'm old? That's what she thought. She was old. And I'm like, "You're not old."
Well, first, it depends. It's a very good question. It depends on how we define intimacy. If we define intimacy in terms of passionate love, which is, you know, that obsessive, can't live, really exciting, arousal-producing kind of love, then we know inevitably in all love relationships that declines over time. You can reignite it by adding new novel experiences that you do together with each other. And there are other ways to reignite the passion. But if intimacy is defined by knowing your partner, what I call companionate love, which is the love of support and friendship and feeling really good and knowing your partner, then that actually increases over time. So again, it depends on whether or not we're talking about passionate love and sex mm-hmm. versus knowing your partner, friendship, and feeling supportive of this person in general. And so that is why we really have to know what your friend means.
I'm thinking she was thinking sex, because she always gets like a little embarrassed. I'm like, "We're friends. You can talk about this stuff." And she kept giving me the eye like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, just say it, sex. It's okay.
Well, I should say, Lisa, in my long-term study, again, the same couples for over 28 years, those couples who are still together and happy, 75% said that sex declined over time, but the majority, 75%, said that sex was just as enjoyable or more enjoyable over time. So, yes, the frequency of sex may decline over time, but the quality of sex, if you're in a happy, healthy relationship, is still there and important to happiness.
Now, see, that's good news.
That is good news for everyone, isn't it?
It is. Whether you're in a relationship now or not, you're like, all right, so we got something to look forward to. It's not just going to, you know, poof and disappear. So for all of us diehard romantics, Dr. Terry, does love at first sight exist?
Very good question. And, you know, there's a huge debate about whether it's true or not true. From my point of view, as I look at the science, I say that you can have a spark at the beginning and you can know whether or not there is potential, but love, true love, comes over time. And so that you need to wait. You need to get to know this person in order to really know whether or not you're compatible and you have what I call similarity in terms of underlying values and attitudes. Because one of the most important things I found, Lisa, is that those couples who stay together and are happy have those similar underlying values and attitudes. You can have different interests, hobbies, likes, food preferences. One of you may be social. One of you may be more introverted, but it's those similar underlying values, like the importance of religion or the importance of family, your approach to money. That's what is so important and keeps people together over the long haul. And you can't know that at first sight.
No. Yeah, that takes time. I mean, we have actual chemical reactions that happen when we're in the presence of someone that we're either highly interested in or sexually attracted to. And then it's all of that, you know, finding out the rest of the good stuff to see if that can continue, right?
Exactly, because the spark happens, the passion, the excitement, the chemical reactions happen at the beginning. So you can then go further to know whether you can exist and continue that relationship be maintained over the long haul. And that's, Lisa, why I tell people always to give it time. Because, you know, passionate love is right there at the beginning. And it lasts for about 12 months, at least 12 months. Some people last a little less. Some people last a little more.
Okay.
But, you know, about 12 months. And when you're in the throes of passion, sometimes we don't see our partner for who they really are. You know, we ignore.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
Exactly. That is so the truth. We ignore the dissimilarity. We ignore things that we can't really see, or that we see and we dismiss, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and so the longer you stay, you can, well, this is an observation that I think back. I mean, my parents have been married, you know, 51 or 52 years. I can't remember. But, you know, I grew up with watching that mm-hmm. you stay together and you work through stuff no matter how hard. And they've had some incredible challenges. Do you think couples today kind of go, oh, well, I can always get a divorce? Do we approach marriage and connecting with people with the right mindset? Or is marriage like disposable?
I do not think marriage is disposable. And I do think that everyone comes to a relationship and wants it to last. I really do believe that. And I don't think that, you know, people are saying that relationships aren't important, or marriage or long-term relationships are not important. What I think, Lisa, is that we have unrealistic expectations of relationships. Mm-hmm. For example, I think we say to ourselves that they should always be passionate. There should always be sex. And if there isn't, there's something wrong. But that's an unrealistic expectation. I also think we say to ourselves, there should never be conflict. And if there's conflict, well, then it's a bad relationship. I think that's an unrealistic expectation. Again, what we know is that all relationships have conflict. And in fact, it's the relationships that don't have any disagreements or issues that are really the ones that are in trouble or aren't really exploring the things that are important to us, or that we come to them and say, if there are these ups and downs, like you were talking about with your parents, that shouldn't be there. And again, that's an unrealistic expectation. All relationships, you know, go through those ebbs and flows, those ups and downs. All relationships have times where it's just boring. Same old, same old. That's inevitable in the development maintenance of a relationship. And so if we can come to our relationships with realistic expectations, that's when then we can say, oh, I'm not in trouble. Oh, that's usual. That's typical. Mm-hmm. It's common. Everyone has these.
Yeah. What do you think is sort of like your top three when it comes to what makes a good partner or a good relationship?
First, it's that similarity and underlying values and attitudes. That is top to be a good partner. So if you're looking for someone who's going to be compatible and good with you, you want to make sure that that similarity is there. Second, look at how someone handles stress and conflict. Very important for the future of your relationship. You want someone who handles stress effectively, who can deal with conflict constructively. I know from my research that it's not conflict per se, it's how couples handle that conflict that's so essential mm-hmm. for whether or not they're going to be together again in the future. And third, I think top third would be trust. You know, do you trust this person? Do they trust you? Which means, are they, you know, honest in telling you the truth? And do they have your best interests at heart? So when they're thinking about moving to a different state or job, are they thinking of you? Are they honest, reliable, predictable, telling you the truth in general? And again, we all edit a little bit, right?
Of course.
But for the big things, you want someone that you trust and they trust you. Trust actually turns out to be the first important ingredient to a happy, healthy relationship. And when I ask the couples, husbands and wives, you know, partners in my study, 92% of the husbands and 96% of the wives said that trust was the important, most important thing to a good partner and a mm-hmm. happy relationship.
And you know what? It starts out early when you first start to get to know someone, and maybe they say, you know, you've gone out on a couple dates, and then they say, well, I'll call you later on tonight, and they don't call you. Whomever, it's male or female, that's waiting for the call, you may go into your fear-based emotion, which is, oh, see, I knew it. And maybe we don't know what occurred to stop that phone call. So do a little research. I mean, still plug into how you feel, but do a little research into what's going on before, you know, you're judge, jury, and executioner for that relationship.
Absolutely. Because, you know, Lisa, as you said, trust is a two-way street. You have to be able to trust this person and understand their predicament or the situation or what's going on in their life, as well as they need to trust you. Listen to your gut, I agree, mm-hmm. but make sure you do a little bit of research, because there are always issues going on in people's lives and you just don't know what's happening. Sometimes it has nothing to do with you and all to do with them and what's going on in their life.
Yeah, and I always say, you know, edit a little bit too. And I used to be the worst offender at this back when I was doing a lot of dating. Here's everything horrible about me, and I'm going to tell you all in my first date because I know you're going to leave me anyways. And thank you, and pay for the bill too.
I mean, right. You know, I don't think I call that vomiting.
Yeah.
On the first date. You want to disclose gradually, you know, because otherwise you're just going to overwhelm this person, right, Lisa?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Little bite-sized pieces, people. This is what makes it digestible. Okay. You know, we are coming down to the end of the interview here, Dr. Terry. And if it's okay with you, could we move into our RL3?
Absolutely.
All right. I have informed the love doctor that at the end of each interview, I do some real life questions, a la James Lipton. And so here is your first question. Do you believe in aliens?
Yes, I do believe in aliens, Lisa. I believe that we are not the only people in this universe, and that there are other human beings or life forms that exist elsewhere.
See, I like that. Even the love doctor says there's probably alien love. And so you've got a whole nother realm of beings that could read your books and support you on PBS.
So, wouldn't that be nice? I like that. Maybe they're listening.
Maybe.
In fact, they're probably listening now.
They probably are. So, of course, aliens, tune in September 8th from 6:30 to 8 on PBS and see
exactly.
The love doctor.
And secrets from the love doctor.
Heck
can
yeah.
Totally generalize to alien being relationships.
All right. Question two. There's a two-parter. A man is sexy when he wears blank.
Ooh. You know, for me, a man is sexy when he wears a suit. I love when my husband of 21 years actually gets dressed up in a suit. He rarely does that,
nice.
Unfortunately, but I do like it.
Good deal. Our producer, Remy, just straightened his tie. He's actually wearing a nice suit and a tie, and he's like, all right, I wore the right stuff.
Absolutely.
Dr. Terry, you're as if you're saying this, I feel sexy when I wear blank.
Wow. I feel sexy when I wear a dress that is sleeveless.
Nice. She's liking her arms. Way to go. See, it's just very empowering that you say that, because a lot of women are like, oh, I got to cover my arms.
Absolutely. But you know, it's so interesting. That question was more difficult for me than the male one.
See, you did pause on that a little bit. This third question here, we ask everybody, and it's kind of fun because we find out what your fantasy name is. And not only do we find out your fantasy name, but you have to tell me what occupation your fantasy name would have. And it's the first pet you ever owned and the name of the street that you grew up on. So what is your fantasy name?
The first pet that I owned was a cat, And that cat's name was Ginger. Ooh.
All right. So Ginger.
Gilligan's Island.
Yeah. Ginger what? What's the last name then?
And Glenwood.
Ginger Glenwood. And what occupation would Ginger Glenwood have?
Ginger Glenwood would be a pediatrician.
Dr. Glenwood, thank you so much. And the kids in the
You're
background.
You're welcome.
Ah, screaming their full head off. Well, Dr. Terry Orbach, the Love Doctor, you can find her on drterrythelovedoctor.com. Don't forget about September 8th. She'll be on PBS from 6:30 to 8. And that's just going to be amazing. Secrets from the Love Doctor. You're going to want to know that. All of that information on her website at drterrythelovedoctor.com. And just a reminder, because I know you know lots of people out there, I'm trying to get 1,000 likes on my Intuitive You Facebook page. So if you're on Facebook, just plug in Intuitive You and you'll see a little picture of me. And I'm still trying to get with my goal of 1,000 likes by the end of this month. Will you help out with that, Dr. Terry?
I sure will. I've already liked you, Lisa. I will tell everyone else that it is definitely a great Facebook page.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Much love to you and continued love to everybody listening out there. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Thanks, Lisa.